Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to part three of Live from the Bay with Joey, and we're back again. Pagans and Christians, oh my, part three. So join us here tonight, Lori Bruno, myself, Phil Wyman, and this is the last of our series. Now, this does not mean that Lori or Phil or I will not come together again and talk and chit-chat. Because we will, but this is going to be last of this series. So, anyway, before we get started tonight, what I would like to do, of course, is get off the track here now just a little bit, because what we're going to do is we're just going to get off the track a little, because we are going to do some hot topics, and I think you're going to just, you're going to think it's all right, because...
All right now!
Okay, well, there you go. You think it's all right, so I think it's all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk some hot topics. So these are, you know, interesting, newsworthy items that deserve or perhaps do not deserve our attention. You decide. So I think what we're going to do is talk these topics right now, and then what we are going to do is we're going to talk one or two topics, and then I will call on my invited guests, Lori and Phil, and what they'll do is they will give, they'll chime in and give their 5 cents, their thoughts on those topics, and then after we're done with that, we'll go on to our part three of our series. So anyway, I wanted to first just tell you that something that I saw today that was in the news, and I'm not sure if you caught wind of this, but the Boston bomber appeared in the Rolling Stone, and CBS, all of the CBS stores decided to drop the issue. They said, no way, we don't want to see this guy. And the guy's right on the cover. The bomber, how a popular, promising student was failed by his family, fell into radical Islam, and became a monster. So I kind of want to know what you guys think about that. So keep that in the back of your mind. And then the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, we were talking last time a little bit about opulence and, you know, people that live that type of lifestyle. And it seems to me that something just recently just went over the top. And it is, and I don't know if you guys got wind to it, but it's the world's largest building, and it opened up in China. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this is unbelievable. It's like a third of a mile long, a third of a mile. And it's like 300 and some odd feet up in the air. I don't even know. It's got, I think it's supposed to, they're intended to have 5 major hotels inside. On top of that, it's got a fall-like ocean, if you can imagine that, right? With miles of coastline, not miles, but quite a few thousand feet of coastline, and with, I guess, palapas, and people can be sipping cocktails and eating shrimp. And then they've actually got big screens that depict the sunset. It's just kind of unreal to me. And so it says here, I was going off memory. I just I just pulled this up right now on Fox News, and it says now it's large. This building is bigger than anything in Dubai, the mammoth New Century Global Center that opened last month in the southwestern Chinese city of Chengdu has 19 million square feet of floor space, 329 football fields, 329. And the structure, like I said, is more than a third of a mile long, more than 1,300 feet wide, 328 feet in the air. Okay, now let's talk about this coastline. I was right. It's 1,300 feet of coast and beaches under a gigantic glass dome. 6,000 visitors at a time will be able to sunbathe. How about that? And in a building, okay, nonetheless. A 492-foot by 130-foot LED screen will rise above a section of water with videos of an ocean horizon. The center will include, two five-star hotels, as well as a replica of a Mediterranean town under a far blue sky. So anyway, now we've got two topics here I want to talk about. And kind of, I want, my guest's opinion on. Again, I personally think my thought on this is it's opulence. I think you should be able to take this money and feed your poor instead of doing something like this. That's my opinion. That's my thoughts. But let's see what others have to say. So, if I'm not mistaken, I think, is this you, Lori?
Yes, this is me.
How are you?
Ditto, Joey, ditto for me what you said. And I'm not saying that to be agreeable with you. I'm saying it because it makes sense to me. But greed, look, how many people are starving in that country? Many. How many go through work conditions that are unbearable? And yet you want to build a monster building? Why don't you go ahead and feed the people and be a hero monster? Let's put it that way. I go ahead and make people eat. I give them homes. How many homes could be built with that? Those things? You know, a lot. Understand, this is the way I feel, the same way you do. Feed your people. Clothe your people. Make things right. Be there as a humanity. Come on. Enough. I've seen enough of the greed and I'm tired of it. I am tired of it.
Now, let me ask you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, just as long as they have their own way, the greed people. They see the word greed is G and the D at the end, and I've said this many times. The R-E-E is ruin, evil, and ego. Take that out and put the circle back in the center, and you have God and Goddess.
Yeah.
The circle
All
of
right.
life. I want to see everybody eating and being fed and working and being able to breathe and make their kids go to school and get an education. That's the building I want, the building blocks of humanity. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I live in another world. But I like my world a hell of a lot better.
No, I don't blame you. I like your world a hell of a lot better, too. And I think a lot of people do, and I think people have to understand that. So thank you. What do you think about that Boston bomber appearing on the Rolling Stone?
I wouldn't have that trash on anything but a garbage can. He's trash. He's no good. He came to this country. He hated this country. And yet he lived off this country, he and his mother and his father. Why come here? You hate us so much. Stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Please. You know, my family came here in 1913 on my father's side, my mother's side, 1898. They made viable lives for themselves. They wanted to see this country grow. I love America. America's my home. I will live here, I will die here. All my family have served in the wars. My husband, the last one, was Vietnam. Understand me. We tried to make our country better than what we found it. Every one of us. What have they come? They've come to rape our country. People like this, and I'm not talking about their religion or anything. I'm talking about their mindset, the filth that's in their mind. And it is filth. It's not even dignity. It's nothing what God would want. They're, not even Allah would want them to do such destructive things. In the Quran, if they read that, they would not find such of the harsh things that are there. I don't believe anybody who truly cares for God, that goes for everyone, would destroy life. And my family has paid in inquisitions too. But I'll tell you something. I love our country. Where can we speak like we do in peace without being stoned to death? Think about
That's
it,
right.
Americans. You've got a wonderful country here. Do not side with people who have hate in their heart. Try to
That's
make
right.
our country better. Try to make the people better. Plus, reach out and try to make other countries better. Feed the Palestinian people. Give them a homeland, too. There's wrongs on every place. But don't destroy. Try to make a world that's filled with joy. Go ahead and help everybody. No destruction. Find out what the other fellow needs. It's always this way. If people are hungry, and there's a guy looking in your window, and he's hungry, right, and you're eating, would you not feed them bread? Yes, you would. Because if you
yes.
have a heart, you would do that. And that's
yeah.
the way you should do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, I wanted to tell you something on a funny, well, this is kind of an interesting note. You were talking about when your family immigrated here, and we're going to talk more about this.
Yes.
I'll tell you really quick. My dad's parents immigrated to Ellis Island from Italy in 1898.
Yes.
My mother's parents immigrated as teenagers from Spain to Hawaii in 1913.
Same thing, Joey.
I know.
Same
I know.
Years.
I know. So anyway, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to talk to Pastor Phil, and we'll bring
all
you
right.
back on, okay? All
Love
right.
You all.
Hold on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So hold on here. Phil, is that you?
Hey, Joey, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Okay, so you've heard all this. I want you
yep.
to tell me what your thoughts are on that building in China, and then let's talk about the Rolling Stone article. Your thoughts.
Okay. what we have is, I imagine it will be really interesting to see, but I wonder what it is in
Are you there?
You can like, I'm here.
You know what, Phil? I'm sorry. I don't know if you're on a different system, but we're not hearing you, so it's cutting out.
Okay. I don't know what to say. Should I try and call back on another?
Okay, now
Hello?
You sound fine. Now you sound fine right now. Are you using Skype?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Can you can hear me?
I can hear you right now, but we lost what you were trying to say. So, originally. So let's just start again. And if it
okay.
gets really bad, then you'll have to call back in.
Sure. Okay. So as far as the building, I don't know what it is in the human framework that makes such a place like that interesting. If I want to go on a vacation to the beach, I would like to go to the beach and not to a fake beach and building. And I understand that Chengdu is in the middle of the Sichuan province of China. But there's something strange about creating all this opulence that's some kind of a fake version that we are drawn to. And there's already such natural wonder all around us. So for me, there's this question of how is it we get drawn into these false worlds of which people take advantage and make all this money and spend all this money and allow us to create a society in which the poor are abused and forgotten, and we spend our money on rather silly things. I wonder how we get there. Thought about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, what are your thoughts about, let's ask your thoughts about, you saw that thing about the Rolling Stone article with the Boston bomber.
Yeah.
You heard about
yeah.
it. I talked to you about it. So what are your thoughts about that?
I guess I'm going to go a little bit against the grain of what a lot of people are saying here. I don't have a problem with it, and I don't even have a problem with the way the picture is taken. Of course, Rolling Stone has a history of doing things like this. They're pretty smart of keeping their name out there so that you will remember them. They did a picture of Charles Manson. The reason I don't have a problem with it is I think there's a necessary study of how it is people come to these places. And there's, I think, with it, the realization that in some way it potentially could be any of us who become deceived enough to fall into such a place. The picture of a bomber who kind of looks like a regular guy, or even, you know, it's a really nice picture of him, I think highlights the fact that in some way it might be any of us. And I would consider, if I have hatred toward him, as much as he's done something really despicable, but if I have hatred toward him as an individual, how far am I from having hatred toward a group of people perceived as doing something like he did? And then how far am I from being just like that and maybe being vengeful? So for me, the fact that Rolling Stone would do an article that dives into the psyche and the history of somebody who does something like this, I think has, beyond a fascinating element, I think it has a potential for being a study that all of us need to understand. So as much as it raises the specter of our fears and our anger, and it reminds us of some terrible things that happened, I don't have a problem with it. But it's a little tougher here where I live in the Boston area than it might be in some other places because it is so close to home. I know people who were blown off their feet when bombs went off and were right there when it happened. So there is a sense of it being close to home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, I guess what I, you know, I'm not on the East Coast, but again, I'll tell you, Phil, the only problem I have with this, well, I do have a problem with it, but my biggest problem with this is that I feel like we're glorifying somebody that shouldn't be glorified. And I'll tell you why. Here is somebody that took part in a despicable crime. You know what? I don't give a rip that this guy came from a foreign country because an American could do this, okay? But what I do care about is you do such a heinous crime, you cannot say that you were not aware of the outcome and the aftermath of what was going to happen. I mean, that's just plain stupidity. Then we glorify this. You know what? Why shouldn't you be on the front of Rolling Stone? Why shouldn't Lori be on the front of Rolling Stone? Why shouldn't I be on the front of Rolling Stone? Why shouldn't every other American be on the front of Rolling Stone for good things that they do? Why do we have to glorify some person that did and participated in a despicable crime? That's my, and boy, I'm sorry that I got on my bandwagon about that. But, man, I think that's my biggest gripe with this, you know? I mean, I'm not going to go as far as saying, okay, CVS says, okay, well, let's just take it all off our stands as if, I mean, you know, this could be found somewhere else. People are going to pick them up somewhere else. And, you know, if you can't find it, this is just a law of nature, right? You can't find something somewhere, it's going to make you all the more want to find it somewhere else. So you're going to go out of your way to find it, you know, and grab a copy, you know, and that's just the way it is. I think that they shouldn't have even put that out there And I think that if they wanted to do anything good, that they should give time to people like yourself, Lori, other people in the United States, our listeners, myself, everybody else, not somebody like this that took. And you know what? Honestly, I do not believe that whether or not he was scammed by his family, whether or not he was, you know, I do not believe that he does not have a conscience. I do not believe that he didn't put one and one together and say, you know what, this is probably the wrong thing for me to do or participate in, you know. So now we're going to have a magazine, we're going to have a that type of periodical staring at us, and this guy's going to be explaining how bad his family was when his family was sitting there basically kissing his feet and basically saying how bad America was, you know? Well, if we're so bad, then go back to where you came from, you know? I mean, that sounds harsh, but, you know, that's reality. If we're so bad, right? I mean, I think America has offered many people a new start in life. If it offered my family that, you know? My grandparents. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I don't know, God bless America is my thought, you know. So, but I understand
right.
where
yeah.
you're coming from, too. I understand this.
Right.
I understand that. Mm-hmm.
I think the evidence is very clear that his image on the cover of Rolling Stone is not a glorification of him, because the response of seeing his face is violent enough by people that it's not a glorification. In fact, it is the stark contrast of what he's done against how he looks, and it angers most people. And I think that in itself shows us Rolling Stone isn't glorifying him. In fact, it's caused this frustration and anger to rise up even more, and it shows that we understand right and wrong as and I just don't see it as glorification. It'd be glorification if everybody went, wow, okay, he's kind of cool, but nobody's doing that.
Well, have you seen the the picture of, have you had a chance to take a look at it? Just
yes.
came out today. Okay.
Yes, I saw the picture.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they said it was an image that he took himself or what have you. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. You know what, Phil? You are cutting out really a lot. So I'm going to have to ask you, if you don't mind, if you can call
okay.
back without being on Skype, and it'll be your same number, so I'll see you. And if you don't mind, because it's cutting out a bit, and I want to be able to capture everything you're saying, not every other word. So
call back.
Okay, thank you. Okay, folks, so there we go on that subject. The only other thing yep. I wanted to The only other thing I wanted to cover was the fact that there was something where the IRS, I don't know if you saw this, accidentally published thousands of Social Security numbers online. Wow. That was kind of big. And it said, I read this and I was like, this is unbelievable. I don't know how something like this could even happen. And again, this is why, folks, you know, I'm so big on making sure, and I hope you are as well, making sure that you do not get online on the internet and send your bank account information, your Social Security information, any of that online. And I know, Lori, I think you're going to be joining me in a second here once I unmute you. But I'm sure that – are you there?
Yes, I'm
yeah,
here.
You're there.
I don't do
okay.
I don't do anything online.
Yeah,
I don't
so you agree with
that.
Me.
No, I've never done that. No, my bank has all my information, and that's it, and they don't put me anywhere. I made a point of that. I don't trust anything. Please. You have no idea. You can be, and everything can be stolen from your life. I mean,
you
just have to get that number and you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. You are done. And so that was just kind of unbelievable. When I saw that, I was thinking to myself, that's just great. I mean, not great that that's wonderful. I was just like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, this is unbelievable. And it's really, it's a wake-up call to all of us that we have to be so careful.
Yes.
Really, really careful. We just have to be so careful.
There's too many people are lazy, and they go online, they do their banking, and I didn't have to move my butt. Oh, yeah, you do. When you have to go clean it up, you do. And you have to understand what you're doing is could put you and your family in jeopardy. All your information is out there. They do a click. Oh, gee, they live here. Let's go just rip them off. And then you get on Facebook. Oh, we're going away for the weekend. They come back and their house is robbed. Guess what, Dumbo?
Right.
Oh, I don't have to put anything on the internet.
Okay, so we got the IRS. This is a big thing. The only other thing I was going to mention real quick, and then we're going to be done here, and then I'm going to do some intros. We're going to start on our last part of our series here, but is the Zimmerman trial. Now, you know, that has stirred up so much controversy like nothing I've ever seen. I've got kind of mixed emotions about it. I mean, I understand that he was, you know, part of this neighborhood watch thing. He might have been overzealous. But there was a warning given to him as well. And so I don't think he heeded that warning.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I don't necessarily like is what this juror now is saying.
She's really after the money. It's all about the money with her. It's all about the greed and avarice. And you know something? I'm going to tell you what I did. As a practitioner of the ancient magical art, I have put him and both pictures with Michael the Archangel. He is the policeman's angel, saint, whatever you want to call him, and I have closed the book and left it right under Michael the Archangel. I truly believe that that archangel is very powerful and he will mete out justice. And wherever it has to be, it has to be. A young man's life was taken. But why? Because he was looking into a window? Because he had a hoodie on? Because his skin was another color? What is going on there? Mr. Zimmerman is a mixture, too, mother's side.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's just take a good look at it, Mr. Zimmerman.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then this juror, whose husband is a lawyer.
Right.
She looked to make money. She looked to make money. And you know something? I also have her with Michael the Archangel. Do you hear me out there? You're with Michael, too. I'm sure your husband will understand that since he's a lawyer. I know you're going to make some money out of this, dear juror, but is it going to be worth it when the final analysis comes down?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's too bad that people resort to that kind of
trash.
It's really a shame. Okay, now I'm going to bring on, I'm going to mute you real quick. I'm going to bring Phil on, and then I'll get his 5 cents, and then I'm going to do the intros, and then we're going to start the show. Okay, thanks so much. Hold on. Okay, Phil, I am going to try to get you unmuted here, and I'm going to try to bring you back into the studio, and hopefully this is going to work out better, and we're going to be able to hear you. Hold on here, because you're not coming back on yet. Hold on. Be patient here. gosh, I wonder why. Okay, hold on, Phil. We'll get you. We'll get you back. So, folks, while we're trying to get Phil back, again, the two things that we're talking about right now are the issue with the IRS and whether it is good for the IRS to really, obviously it's not good for them to have published this, but really if it's really good and safe for us to be really giving our information over the internet, right? And the answer would be no. We all know that. And then secondly, is the situation with Zimmerman, that whole situation. So this is really kind of, you know, it's this whole trial has been really very hard on a lot of Americans. And so, again, I would just ask you to really think about these things, and especially the thing with Zimmerman, and think about what Lori said as well. And so now we are going to actually go to, since we're having a problem with Phil and connecting, Phil, I'm going to have to ask you to call back in, because for some reason we're having a problem here. And so we're going to go ahead and do the introductions. So I want to go ahead and do these introductions, and then hopefully we'll get Phil back on the line. Let us start. Lori Bruno, very well known, respected in the pagan Strega community, hails from Salem, Mass., raised in Brooklyn, New York, and the descendants of Italian parents. She is not only an Italian Strega witch, but high priestess and founder of the Trinacrian Rose Church and co-owner of Magica in Salem, Mass. On Pickering Wharf. Notice how I said the name right, Trinacrian Rose, see? After three shows, I got it down. By the second show, I had it down. First show, I had a little problem saying it, but now we're good to go. She also works in the realm of a psychic, but more than anything, she loves people and helping them out, be it Christians, Muslims, Jews, pagans, and others. She strives on placing the importance on the respect of all humanity and creation. She practices the old Italian Strega craft, but also relates and works in the spirit of the ancient magi, respects and understands what both Phil and I speak of in our Christian walk. She's open-minded, welcoming to all who are tolerant. Lori does not appreciate bigotry of any kind, nor schisms that seem to penetrate the world today. She will add her thoughts on our topic this evening. As a believer in the path of light, she shares deeply in the discussion and gives us examples of areas that the two, the pagan and the Christian, can agree and disagree on, and where we need to move forward. Phil Wyman, he is the pastor of The Gathering, a progressive emergent Christian church out of Salem, Massachusetts, a somewhat controversial fellow, not only because of the demonstration of his path, but having been kicked out of his former denomination for getting too friendly with the neo-pagans, while at the same time, get a load of this, receiving a monetary grant, a gift, in support of this type of love for others from that same organization that kicked him out. So how ironic is that? Not only is Phil a friend to many in the neo-pagan community, he is as well in the Burning Man Festival community, the Rainbow Gathering communities, and is an active participant in both of those as well. Phil, who is also a musician and does play worship in, at his church in Salem, is also a business owner. His church is active in the Halloween haunted happenings in the month of October in Salem, Massachusetts, every year. In the past, they've donated food, hot drinks. They also have taken care of a talent stage, providing spiritual direction, readings for the masses. He tends to be drawn to the eclectic thought and practices, and most certain makes his allegiance to Jesus Christ. So again, he will give us an insight on and ideas on how we can tolerate and respect each other. And myself, finally, Joey, I'm a singer, songwriter, actor, recording artist, former artist associate with World Vision. So that's a hunger relief world known organization that feeds children throughout the world. And I was in charge of holding concerts and making sure that we got children sponsored. So I would sing, and then I would make sure that we got kids sponsored. I was born with an innate gifting from the time I was a child as a believer since a very young age. And that gift becoming stronger as my commitment to God became stronger. My gifting seemed to have been strengthened by my faith. My grandmother had very strong prophetic-like visions gifted by the Spirit. I understand that this gifting, what I talk about, is nothing that has to do with myself, meaning that it's the presence of the Spirit in my life to reach people. And I believe that as I invoke the name of the Most High, that presence, that Spirit, becomes unto me wisdom, which allows me to move into the realm of the Spirit. I come from a long line of believers, preachers, as well as grandson of Maria Pacelli, who happened to be first cousin to Pope Pius XII. As the host of this show, we are a talk show, a variety show, to the entertainment community, as well as we cover controversial topics. This one, the one that I'm doing with the Spanish Jews, the Sephardic Jews. So we're reaching people all over the world, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm open-minded. I'm a believer and follower of Christ. I make my purpose to exemplify the life, truth, and wisdom of the divine. Now, I want to make sure that my friend Phil is here with me, and I am trying to get him back into the studio, so we're just going to wait here until I see him back into the studio. And there he is. So,
there
Phil, I am so sorry that took so long. So there you are. So real quick, before we start our show, give me your thoughts on those last two subjects. I don't know if you heard about it, but the IRS giving out information about, you know, about Social Security numbers, I believe that was it. And then secondly, we were talking about the Zimmerman trial. So any thoughts? Are you there? Hello? Phil disappeared.
Sorry, I'm here. Can you
okay.
hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. My ear muted my phone.
Uh-oh.
So I guess I'll start backwards here. So the Zimmerman thing, all I can really say about it is there's one sense in which I'm really glad that if I should go to trial someday, the decision of what happens to me is not found in the court of public opinion. And the reason I say that is what happened in this case is something that touched on all of the things we are most worried about in our nation. A lot of the things of prejudice and bias and gun control, all of this. It touches on all of those things. And he was found guilty in the court of public opinion. And my personal approach to it is, I wasn't there in the courtroom, and I wasn't privy to all the things that were going on, and I don't know the intricacies of the laws and all the details, and I can't even read men's hearts, and I wasn't there at the moment this whole thing occurred, and I personally don't want to make a decision about it, and I would be really afraid if I was found, and I speak this from some small degree of personal experience when we were falsely accused of being heretics by a district supervisor in our denomination. We sat in front of what was the equivalent of a court, and it was like an inquisition. And from this superstitious mentality of, you know, well, if you get too close to witches, then something will get off on you, and there must be something wrong with you if they like you. With all of that going on, we were found, quote, guilty in the court of public opinion by a handful of people who had power. I'm just glad we have a system. In some ways, even if the decision was bad, and, of course, most people seem to be, at least up here in our area, most people seem to be saying that, even if the decision is bad, I think the United States system proves itself on this point, that it doesn't have to bow to the power of public opinion, that it can make decisions independent of that. And we can automatically say that, it, you know, well, it, you know, somebody with power or somebody with money made this happen, and it's all about that. But I can't make that decision because I can't see what's behind the scenes. So, you know, I know in saying that, I'm saying something that a lot of people will disagree with, but when I look at these things, I want to be able to critique both sides. And I think my critique right now is for our hearts toward this situation. I don't want mm-hmm. to be a person who declares guilt while not sitting on the in the court with all of the details mm-hmm. and all of the working going on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to listen to public opinion mm-hmm. as to who was right and who was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, for myself, I want to leave it, whether I like what happened or not, it's a tragic situation no matter what, but no matter if I don't want to take sides, as it were. For me, that's part of the big problem of our society. We tend to take sides, one person against another, and pretty soon everybody's a bad guy in somebody's
yeah.
eyes. And, you know, and I don't think God does that. If he loves every single person, then how can everybody be a bad guy? How can, if he loves my enemy as much as he loves me, then he calls me not to have an enemy in the first place. And that's the place I want to live, where I don't have an enemy. And I haven't decided in the court of public opinion to make somebody guilty when God is calling me not to do that, not to stand in judgment, because those who stand in judgment will receive judgment. And I don't want to be one of those people. I think that's the thing we fall into the danger of doing, is by making these judgments, even against people we don't know, in situations that we feel so strongly about, we can make ourselves privy to a kind of judgment that returns upon us. And I don't want to live there, and I don't want my friends to live there. And so
mm-hmm.
my worry is about ourselves in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to care for all sides mm-hmm. and somehow have love for all sides, even while my heart is broken for the kind of things that have occurred. So that was me getting on the soapbox. Sorry.
No, I appreciate it. Okay, so now what I'm going to ask you to do, Phil, so I don't want to lose you, do you have the ability to mute yourself on your phone there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you to mute yourself right now, and I'm going to do a station identification, and then when I bring you on, just unmute yourself, okay? So, folks, tonight, welcome back to part three of our final series, Pagans and Christians, Oh My, with Lori Bruno, Phil Wyman, and myself. So we welcome your calls tonight. Call in 347-308-8062. Hit option 1, and we will be taking your calls. We are sorry that this is not a program for psychic or spiritual reading. So if you're looking for a psychic reading with Lori Bruno, please contact her directly at the following phone number, 978-741-9297. 978-741-9297. And please be cognizant of the time. She's on East Coast time. So if you're on Pacific Standard Time, you know, probably don't call her, you know, after like 8 or 9 p.m. at night, because then she's going to be 3 hours ahead, but she'll always take your calls, and so you can leave her a message. And then for Pastor Phil, if you desire to speak to Phil, discuss dreams, want info on the gathering in Salem, please contact Phil at the gathering in Salem, Mass, at 978-744-8444. Should you want to reach me in regards to spiritual reading or show topic or appearance, contact me at livewithjoey@hotmail.com. livewithjoey@hotmail.com. And again, the phone number tonight, folks, is 347-308-8062, and then hit option number 1. So before we get started, I am going to take a call real quick. I think this person's been waiting. And let me just make sure. It's a 978 number, and it starts with 998, but it's, hold on here quick. Let's see if it connects. Are you there? Okay. So they're not there. So we're going to get the show started. Again, where we left off, let's talk about where we left off the last time. So basically, let's talk about where we were for part one. And I'm just kind of going to retrack here. I want to refresh so we already know where we've come from and where we are today. Okay, so last broadcast, 2 weeks ago, we left it stating that we really needed to know the importance of our differences, not to argue, but to help understand, facilitate dialogue. This actually does not just relate to pagans and Christians, but to all faiths, paths, and belief systems. Let me interject something. I think that's important to me, at least. And I'm sure the others agree. No one wants their beliefs attacked. So that being said, we don't want our belief system attacked. And if you're going to attack something, make sure that you have the facts correct before you start talking about that. So, in other words, for someone to say that all Christians are Bible thumpers and their goal is to get people like unlike them to change or burn, that's not going to be correct, right? And that's going to cause a misunderstanding. And if you're talking to a Christian, that's probably, if they're not like that, that's going to cause some uneasiness. So, you know, what you've learned from all of us here is that God loves all and cares for all people. And the message is that of hope and love and not judgment. And by the same token, if you think that everybody that is a pagan or a Wiccan, you know, worships Satan and is burning black candles and is ready to hex you, then really realize that when you start talking to them and dialoguing, that is really going to create some problem. And you have just made a judgment call that is not true. So we have to really be very careful of what we say to one another. So based on that, and based on the last time we talked and where we've been, I'm going to bring Lori on real quick. Are you there, Lori? Are you connected?
Yes,
yet?
I'm here.
Okay. So what do you think about what I just said? Do you agree?
Yes, I do. I think that what you said is very wise. And Pastor Phil also with wisdom said a lot a few minutes ago. And I leave it, as I say, in the hands of justice, all things that are wrong. Whether we go to a court, we do have a court system here. And what I do say is this. We leave it in the hands of the court system, but divine justice is the final analysis of it all. And that's where I am leaving this matter. Everything that you've been speaking of, Joey, is for the heart, and so is Pastor Phil. You both have the heart of humanity. And there is a difference in us all, but basically it's a similarity. And I can understand the Christianity, the Judaism, the Muslim way of thinking, the Buddhists, because I studied them, and I understand and love all humanity. And the day we can't love all humanity, then we're in trouble, and the wars will never stop. When people come to love each other and sit down and break bread together, then truly shall we have peace. Until that day, we'll never have peace. People have to understand, if you're eating in a house and the man outside is looking in and he has no food, there's going to be an animosity.
Right.
This is where it has to be, down to the finite, the smallest degree of thought. Our leaders have to understand all people of a rich nation. We can help our brothers and sisters who are in
right.
need.
Right. Right. So
that's
you would
what
tend
I said.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you. You would tend to agree also with what I just said. Like, for instance, if somebody is, say, for instance, somebody thinks that all Christians are the same, these Bible thumpers, they're screaming, and they're telling people, if you don't believe like me, you're going to burn in hell. No. But what I'm saying is, when you say, for instance, if you've had experiences with people like that, and then say, for instance, you meet another Christian and you say, you guys are all the same. You're all a bunch of Bible thumpers. You're all a bunch of this and that. It's going to create animosity. It's going to create problems. It's going to create anger. It's going to create somebody saying, you know, whoa, 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 wait a minute. So we have to, don't you agree that we have to realize that, you know, everybody is different. And just like, not everybody, you know, if somebody says, oh, I practice, I'm a witch, or I'm a pagan, and you've had, say, for instance, in your life, you've had dealings with people that are pagans or witches or this or that, and they do things that you don't agree with. Maybe that, exactly. You know, whatever the case, you cannot box every single pagan and Wiccan in the same box and say, oh, so you're a witch or you're a pagan, so you must do this and do that, and you must text people, and you must do. I mean, that is going to create bad feelings. So,
Excuse me. They say witches curse people. My type of witch never curse people. I say, if you've done evil, that's your own worst curse. Do good and forget, do evil and remember. That's the curse of a person that says wrong. People curse people. We don't. My people do not curse people.
Right.
They, like I said, with Zimmerman, I leave it in the hands of the archangel. That's who the final analysis would be. In fact, he's the policeman, the archangel, and he rules over the law. So just leave it alone. Leave it alone, yes.
Well, and you know, I kind of am saying the same thing in a different way, but I basically, when people attack me, it's the same thing. I basically say, you know what, I am not going to attack them.
No.
I'm not going to attack. And you've heard me say this too, Lori, and I know I've talked to Phil about this as well. I will bless people like that. And I go, you know what? You know what? I know that my God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So you know what? You want to play with me? I'm standing out of the way.
So my God and Goddess says the same thing, and I use Michael the Archangel. I step out of the way of his sword. Let me tell you something. Someone had done a rotten, mean thing. They said a lot of mean things about me. I could have said, I'm going to put a zim on this person, a real nice thoughts. No, I didn't. I wish them love. And that's what I did wish. And they have love. And this is exactly where I come from. I wish them love. And they have love in their life. And I've seen their life turn around.
Yep.
Really. I've seen their life turn around. I don't want revenge on anybody. They've made their own revenge by their own evil action. It has a habit of boomeranging around.
Right. Absolutely.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. And it will happen.
Right. When we sow.
And there are many ways to the one, Joey. There are many ways to the one. As he said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Uh-huh. Right.
He didn't mean strip levels and condos.
Right. Well, you know, my belief is this, and you know this, and I think we all agree on this. As we sow good, we reap good.
Yes.
If we sow bad, we reap bad. It's
Absolutely.
Human nature. It's human nature that if, and you know, sometimes I blame it on, because I'm part Italian, you know, I go, don't mess with me, you know. And so, And I got to tell you a funny story really quick here. The guy across the street, we had some doors put into the house. We had to change out the doors. And what do you call those things that is it a threat? It's a threshold. So we put in a fire door from the kitchen to the garage. This is so funny. But anyway, so I told the guy, I said, look, on these two doors, on the one from the kitchen to the garage, and on the from the garage out to the side, I would rather not have thresholds. Oh, no, 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 no. They all come with thresholds. And I'm like, really? And I said, gosh, you know, something tells me that no, they all come with thresholds, you know. And he went on his bandwagon to tell me that they all came with thresholds. Well, you know what? I don't like a liar. And I don't like people that misquote me or anything like that or lead me astray. So what happened was I was talking to the guy across the street and him and then the woman next door. And we were talking, and the woman next door had these doors put in, the same type of doors. And I said, you know, I really have an issue with these thresholds. And I said, and I was telling her, you really need to be careful and cognizant of this because you could trip. And she's already tripped in the past. So the guy across the street said, yeah. He said, but you know what? He said, I'm no contractor. You guys had a contractor put these in, but I'm no contractor. He said, but he said, I just put in four doors. And none of them have thresholds. And I said, what? And he said, I just put in four doors, and none of them have thresholds. So I said, yeah, but those doors weren't like fire doors, and they weren't coming in from the kitchen. And he said, oh, yes, they were, Joey. And I said, what? And he looked at the woman across the street, the other woman, you know, next door lady, and he looked at me, and he could see me, and I said, what did you tell me? And he said, yeah, they don't have any thresholds. And I said, they don't have any thresholds? There's doors with no thresholds. And he goes, uh-oh, I better leave. And he said, I better get back to my house, because he could see that my Latin blood was fuming, okay?
That's
now,
right.
the thing is, I always say that. I always say when I get mad, this is my Italian or Spanish blood coming to a head, you know?
Yes.
But it's not that I'm being vengeful or mean or angry.
No.
It's just this is part of, you know, who I am. Sometimes I'm a little bit fiery. But I don't think I don't think any of us like being
lied.
Deceived and lied to or anything like that. And when people do that to me, I just back out. I just go, you know, okay, just like I did with this contractor, you know, so
right.
be it. If this is what he did, so be it. I step out of the way and just, you know, I mean, I bless people like that because really, like Phil was saying, that's really what we want to be. We don't want to be people of anger.
No.
We don't want to be mean people. We don't want to be people
that... Let it go.
Yeah,
otherwise
let it go.
It will kill you.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, when I have a saying on my door. It's in English. Do good and forget. Do evil and remember. In Italian, it is this. By buona scorda, by malapensa. Do good and forget, do evil and remember. That's the whole of a law that is just like, do unto others as you have doing unto you. But there are other times we have to understand. We will meet many people from different places. Hold your temper back. It's, you know, when you lose your temper, you lose that energy that is within you of light. Leave it in the hands of the gods. They are the final analysis. And that's what I did today. I left it in the hands of the gods.
Right. And, you know, Lori, I would even say this for all that are listening and just for all of us, too. When we give, we understand. And, by the way, I love that book, The Go-Giver. That you recommended. Yeah, I got a copy on Amazon. Love that book. But, you know, And I know Phil would agree with this, too. This principle of giving, you know, when we give to people, we don't give expecting to receive, but that is part of the law of that. But if you give to somebody and you find out that they use that money or they decided to do something else with that money, you know what? It's your hands. It's out of your hands.
Oh, yes. It's out of my hands.
And you let it go. You let it go and realize that the blessing will come to you despite what that person utilized it for. Now, I do believe this, Lori. If you say, for instance, you said, Joey, and say I came up to you and I said, Lori, you know what? I don't have any food. And I really need, and you said, Joey, let me give you this, okay? And so you put something in my hand. And I thought, and say in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, you know, I'm going to take that money and buy some booze, and I'm going to booze it up. I need to buy some cigarettes. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know, and you found out about it. Our initial reaction as humans would be, you know what, that's pretty sad. You know, that is very, very sad. However, the really beauty in all of this, the beauty is that you are going to be blessed despite what that person does with your money.
Oh, God, yes.
Because
yes,
you gave
true.
It, you gave it with good intention.
Yes.
And what they choose to do with that money, you know, they're being bad stewards of that money. What
okay.
they choose to do with that is their own business. So, you know, like, kind of like people, I don't like the name Joe, but people used to always tell me this, Joe, let it go. And, you know, and you kind of say the same thing, you know,
yes.
we just need to let it go. Now, I'm going to bring Phil on. Phil, are you there? Phil, it's time
I'm
for
here.
You to unmute. Okay. So
Hello.
Give us, yeah. So give
Hello.
Yeah, I'm. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now. So
okay.
Go ahead. Ask me that question again.
Well, no. What we were talking about. So you understand what I was talking about. What I originally said was I was talking about the fact that, you know, if you're talking to, say you're talking to a Christian, and this Christian is a Bible thumper, and they believe everybody's going to hell in a handbasket, and you need to turn or burn, and this or that, and they leave a bad taste in your mouth, and then you meet somebody, like maybe you meet Phil Wyman,
or you meet myself.
Then
right.
you say, oh, my gosh, they're going to be the
same
type of individual. That can create some problems.
Yeah.
Just by the same token, if you're talking to a Wiccan or a Neo-Pagan, and you've had some bad dealings with some in the past, and you say something really stupid like, you know, do you all burn black candles, you know, do you all worship this or worship that, you're going to offend somebody because they do not do that. I think the only way that we can find out, and Christians don't always behave like those bad Christians. The only way we can really find out is really by educating ourselves. Part two, we learn that. And all of us agreed on this. How are we going to know about ourselves if we don't ask about our differences? How are we going to know how to interact? How are we going to know how to talk with one another? How are we going to be able to make sense, right?
Right.
Of what we believe, what we don't believe, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, and your thoughts on that, Phil?
I find the issues that of which were different to be some of the most compelling and interesting things. In a couple of ways, first of all, I like to debate. For me, it's kind of like a sport. So, discussions about things we disagree about, and we could disagree radically about stuff. I find that to be interesting. I find it to be challenging. It challenges
mm-hmm.
my own belief system, and
mm-hmm.
In a sense, puts it on trial in
mm-hmm.
order for me to reevaluate what I believe and how I think. And if I can't stand up to trial, then there's something wrong with that. So I'm not troubled by people who disagree with me, and I don't feel like I have to somehow force them to agree with me. That's very important for me that I think like that. Then there's another level of differences in which these are not necessarily things of which we outright contradict. Two points that, you know, one can't exist if the other is true, such as atheism and versus some kind of theism. You know, either there is a God or gods, or there's not a God or gods. Those things are contradictory enough that they cannot simultaneously both exist. Well, even though there's certain schools of theology that might disagree with what I just said, but I would generally hold that to be contradictory points. A lot of things we disagree about can be paradoxes, they can be practices, they can be culture. And if we try to make everybody the same, then we're going to lose culture. And to lose cultures is to lose some of the beauty of our world. So it, on so many levels, I think it's important for us to listen to understand one another. And I never like to take an individual and put him or her in a box that says, oh, you're one of those. I want to hear them as an individual first. Because I expect somebody to do that to me.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder why we have so much of that. I mean, why do you think, I mean, I really, maybe it's a crazy question, but why is there so much of this, you know? I mean, why can't we just all just, I mean, I'm not trying to sound
like,
I know
like Rodney King.
How can
we all just
exactly.
get along?
Yeah. Why?
Well, in some sense, was he wrong in asking that question? It was kind of mocked when he did that, but the fact of the matter is, yeah, why can't we? there's something innately angry about many of us, where we get angry with somebody who disagrees with us because we're either intimidated by it or we feel stupid by it, or somehow they don't fit into a mold of what we agree with. You know, in our world, day by day, just evidences the fact that we're quickly angry people as a society and sometimes as individuals. And that's so antithetical to this gospel of agape, this gospel of self-sacrificing love that's found in the person of Jesus. And I believe there's a place where we can, and it's not easy, and I don't think I land there. I know I don't land there all the time, and I don't land there often enough, but there's this transcendent place of being able to perceive people through the eyes of love no matter what has occurred, sometimes even if they have violated me, which is for most of us the most difficult thing. But then there's another level when they've violated those we love.
Yep.
We cannot see them through the eyes of love, but if I really loved fully, I would even love the violator as well as the violated. And it doesn't mean I wouldn't expect society to render justice against them, but it wouldn't have to be done in a violent and angry way.
Absolutely correct.
Justice is needed. And I think that's what God calls from us. I believe that God gets angry at things. And I think it's okay for us to get angry at things from time to time, but so often we miss the mark of what we ought to be angry at because our personal desires and ambitions and passions are all mixed up in it, and we can't tell the difference between divine justice and our own sense of justice. And as much as I can put that away and live in love, I believe I walk in the heart of God. So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, in saying all that, I know I'm kind of talking this theoretical, very high position, but aren't we called to live like Christ? It's a very high position and a very difficult one to find.
Christ only spoke of love, Phil.
He spoke of love,
and the ismus on every religion caused things to be. Man-made laws, not Christ's laws, caused inquisitions and murders. He thought was the love. And if you look at him, you see that, which you see, and no matter what color they think Christ was, and some feel he was very dark complexed. And that could have been too. I wasn't there. But I do feel that his heart was as bright as the morning star. That is what he was called, the morning star.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think, yeah, I appreciate both of your points on this. I think that, you know, I just would love people to just all get along. And
learn each religion.
And,
everyone should learn
and,
every religion.
Yeah, and, you know, I would just, you know, love everybody to get along and to understand
right.
one another. And unfortunately, you know, not everybody is open to doing that. And I wanted to say, you know, Phil kind of hit on it and Lori kind of hit on it. You, Phil, hit on it right tonight just because of anger. And Lori hit on it. Let's listen to what she said. This was last week, okay? I'm going from memory today, but listen to this. She said, and this was profound, because she said, we were talking about heinous crimes, you know, and people doing things that, you know, and this involves celebrities, sports, and I really, truly believe, as I said this to my friends over the last few weeks, this is going to get worse. What we're seeing with celebrities, what we're seeing with sports figures, what we're seeing with people, it's just going to get worse. Jealousy is going to get worse, right? We need to be people of light and show love in this dark time. And Lori said this, okay, because all this is caused by what? A lack of God in their lives or the divine. And Phil, you and I both concurred with this. When fame and riches become your deity, and that becomes your God, you know, there's going to be a price to be paid. And this is even evident right now in former police officers of the law, other people in positions of the law, even politicians. You know, you're not above the law. And these things, what happens is we're seeing this more and more in the news. And we have to be people that say, you know what, I don't want to be like the others. I don't want to be mean and nasty and walk around with a grudge. I don't want to think that, you know, the world has dealt me a bad card and I'm, you know, we have to be willing to walk in love. And the only way we're going to do that is really by practicing it. You know,
yes.
You practice a little bit of love, you feed somebody, you do something good for somebody. You know, this is when good comes to you. Now, this is going to be a good segue because I want to know about some things that are happening with you guys. I'm going to talk to you, Lori, about this, and I'm going to talk to Phil. Now, I'm going to talk to Phil real quick first about it, and then, Lori, I want you to think about some new and exciting things coming your way or what's going on with you, with Magica, et cetera. Okay, Phil, I want you to tell people what's going on with the gathering. There's some changes going on. I want to know about a website and a video, and I want to know ways that we can help you with the gathering, okay? So tell people about this.
Sure. Okay. Since I can't really show the video.
You can't?
I can't show the video on the radio, yeah. If I can do that, that'd be like a wonderful little miracle.
Wouldn't that be magical?
But,
yeah, that'd be
great.
But
you can experience the magic right now by going to salemgathering.org. And then there's a link to the page that says donate. And on that page, there's our video. And it's a video that tells our story. So we're in this position right now where after 7 years of kind of living on a shoestring budget for this big dream that we had, started with the denomination we were a part of, giving us a grant. Originally, the grant was, I presented it as a 3-year grant. They gave us the first year. And then each year we would revisit it to create a kind of a descending amount of money that would be given for us to kind of grow into this dream. And the dream was to have a location rooted in the downtown area of Salem, right on this tourist red line where 1 million people walk by every year, and us to be able to interact and and do outreach to all these tourists. And then along with that, also with the city, create a facility that had an interaction with the community of Salem. And then along with this dream was also the idea, they loved this idea because we were the one church in our denomination, and in fact, they couldn't find anybody that did something similar that befriended the neo-pagan community and interacted, you know, on the level of, here's what we believe truth is, let's talk with one another. And we did it in very friendly terms. They thought this was amazing, so we got the first year of the grant. But then simultaneously, we got excommunicated for befriending witches. So strangely, we got kicked out for what we got a grant for. Which then meant the following 2 years of the grant weren't going to come our way. So we get into this facility where we got the grant for, we get kicked out of the denomination, the following 2 years don't come along, which means that effectively, you know, and it's a very expensive process of going into something, we got an $84,000 grant, which is pretty sufficient, but we effectively lost about $100,000 in not being able to revisit that. And along with it, our entire, we were going to become a training center in understanding how to navigate these changing dynamics of working in the post-Christian culture. But we were going to be a training center within our denomination, and the 1,800 churches that we were going to reach out to and offer to train, all of a sudden that disappeared beneath us.
Right.
So we've been eking out this dream for 7 years on a shoestring budget, and it finally, and our landlords have, I was like, they were sent from God. They've been so good to us. We love them. They love us. But we came to a place where we eked it out month by month, and then we went through a real difficult time recently financially, where now we're eking it out week by week. And then we just had to say to the landlords, you know, we can't put through this. So we put a deadline on ourselves, and we just said, hey, August 1st, we'll leave. And this is just a week and a half ago. We had that talk with them, and they said, well, you know, we're on the same page, but we really hate to lose you, but we understand. So then we thought, you know what, we have a lot of people who love us. Let's just tell our story. And we told our story on this little video, this kind of an entertaining little video that is on that SalemGathering.com, and then you go to the donate page and you see the .com or .org, either one, SalemGathering.com, and then donate. And it'll show the video, and it'll tell the story. And we know that we just have to break out of this week-by-week existence. And what we've done for 7 years is effectively, as a small church, hold a position that a lot of people love and treat almost like a pilgrimage place. They come here to learn how to navigate interaction with post-Christian culture, to do dream interpretation, to bless the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who come to the city of Salem in the month of October.
Right.
They come to minister to them and bless them. And so a lot of people have benefited off of us eking out, holding this position. And we thought, you know, we need to give them an opportunity to bless back. So we put out the video. Now this is amazing. The video's been out for only 2 days. And we know we have to really, to make this thing work, we need something like $50,000 in order to get beyond the living month by month, you know? And because now it's grown to, not only are we ministering to the million who come to Salem every year and all the people who live here, but we do the Burning Man Festival and these rainbow gatherings. It's grown to a thing that we've done on a shoestring budget for 7 years, and now it's going outside of our country to other places in the world. And we know there's all these people that love us. We thought, let's just give them an opportunity. Maybe they want to help us survive. So in the last 2 days, you know, sure, we're looking at, we probably need $50,000 to put ourselves just in position, and somebody asked the question, you know, are they getting rich? What, you know, because that's the question about, like, televangelists. What they don't know is, until just recently, I drive old cars. I had a BMW. It was a 94 BMW. It was kind of falling apart a little bit. Somebody rear-ended me. It got totaled. And now I ride my bike around town for a little while and trying to decide, do I really want to get a car or will I do the Zipcar thing? You know, this is the way I live. I'm living in a little apartment. It's a very simple life. But what we do in town, we do so much that it costs a lot. And our church has been footing this rather large, this huge thing for these 7 years. And so in the first 48 hours, in the first 24 hours, so in one day, in that first day, do you know who gave the most? It wasn't
a
Christian.
I do.
It was witches and atheists.
Right.
Who knew that the gathering was a safe place downtown and loved us despite the fact we were Christians. And we believe in heaven and hell, and we think that Jesus is the way to go, and that's what we preach, and they know it. But they also know they can be respected and loved here, and they can come and be part of the family. And if they should never change what they believe, they'll always still be expected. They'll be respected and treated as somebody who's a valid and worthwhile human being. And so city councilmen came out to say, how can we help? And there's a couple city councilmen on the video. Our friends who are atheists and our friends who are witches and our friends who are Buddhists have all kind of jumped in to say, oh, we want to be a part of helping you. And we know that there's a large Christian community as well, but it was just so interesting to me that those who typically are perceived by some churches as being like enemies are really sad at the idea that what we do might disappear because they see it as a peacemaking value within the city of Salem. And actually, you know, one friend of mine put it in a certain way. He said, don't think for a moment that this is just an issue for Salem and for the witches of Salem.
Yeah.
Its impact is on the entire neo-pagan community because people are coming from all over the world and learning that Christians and witches can be friends, even if theologically they disagree. So it's been an amazing thing. So we're trying to maybe, you know, we're just trying to survive this moment of transition and see if maybe, you know, this big vision we have, it'll continue somehow, but we're trying to get beyond eking it out and, you know, sacrificing to the point of, you know, killing ourselves.
What's
been going on for the last 7 years. So.
Well, you know,
I can do to help you, you let me know.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori.
Anything we can do, I'll be there for you.
I know. And that's such a blessing to me. Thank you.
No, you come to see me this weekend.
Okay.
You know, Phil, yeah, you know
Sunday.
Me, I'm a little
no,
crybaby. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
I want you to come and see me Saturday night, all right? Are you
okay.
Free Saturday?
I'm helping run the Culture Fest that Mamadou puts on the Common. I set up all the sound and run it on Saturday, so I'll do my best to try and
if you could just drop in a few minutes, all right?
Okay.
All right, I have something for you.
Okay, so that's nice. So here's the thing, Phil. When I watch the video, and Lori, you got to see this video. So I'm a little crybaby. So I watch the video. And I'm watching it at a Starbucks, you know, my favorite hangout. And I started to cry, you know, because I understand what your heart is. And, you know, and I would just encourage anybody out there, you know, quite honestly, it should be for any Christians or people that profess Christ that are listening, that know Phil or have worked with Phil or understand, we should be ashamed. We should really be ashamed. We should be out there supporting and giving, and that's what it's about. So I would just encourage people to do that. Again, Phil, give them the website, how to view that, please, again.
Okay. So it's Salem Gathering. That's just one word, salemgathering.com. And then click at the top. There's a thing that says donate, and it takes you to a page that has the video on it. And if you click the little corner space that has, like, arrows that point outward, and it'll open up to your full screen on the computer, which always makes it's beautifully put together by friends of mine, Michelle and Michael Pritzel, who did the work on the video. I put together the little storyboard thing, and then we did a flash mob. We called friends and said, who can make it at this time? So we did this all very quickly. And they just did a great job. You know, Michael would say, number one, number two, and the people would run in and hand me cards. And the city councilman joined us. It was just a great thing. So salemgathering.com, and then go to that button. It's a little thing at the top says donate, and it takes you to a page. It doesn't make you donate right away. It just takes you to a page, and it shows that video, and you click on the video, and it'll play.
All right, that is awesome. So we know about that. So I would just encourage people to do that, because that's really important. And you know what, Phil, I do sense, you know, and I know Lori does too, but I do sense everything, you're going to be taken care of. Everything will be fine for you. And you know what was started from the principle, from the beginning, Phil, no matter what has transpired, you know, when God has started something, when something has started in somebody's life, And this goes for even with what Lori does too as well. You know, there are going to be people that are going to try to stop whatever they can, you know, and they come at you and they'll try to put blockades. But you know what? That doesn't work, because what's supposed to transpire at the final end will happen. It may not be the exact way that it was supposed to be from the beginning, or maybe the way we saw it or somebody else saw it, but it'll happen.
Right.
We have to remain faithful to the belief that that is going to happen, you know. And
I have a little saying on the back of my cards, and it's this: believe it, will it, see it, live it, create it, do it, and achieve it now. Just have that faith and the belief that you can do it. And believe me, it does happen.
Right.
I've never lost my faith in Creator Creatrix. Never did I lose my faith.
Yeah.
My darkest hour, they've made that rose flower.
Hmm. You know, and there's this wonderful statement that Paul made, where he said, that God can do abundantly above all that we can ask.
All that we can dare. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So that the hopes and dreams that we have,
yes,
we can dream them to a certain point, but God takes them well beyond that, to a place that we can't even imagine the degree of fulfillment and blessing, of joy and of goodness that can come. It exceeds our dreams. And so every now and then, as we're walking through life, we stumble into things that are larger than ourselves. And it's because God is in them. And that makes it so large and so glorious. That's the kind of thing I have this kind of innate, crazy faith about. You know, in the video, I put it one place, we're stupid enough to believe, and then as I flip this big poster board, that little people can still do big things.
Absolutely.
You know, I am foolish enough to believe that little people can do really big things. And I've seen it for I actually have seen it for 14 years, that this little church puts on outreaches that churches of thousands of people.
Right.
don't do. Right. And it's just a testimony to the fact that small groups of people can do really magnificent things.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so proud of our little church because of that.
Yeah, and you know, good things will happen and continue to happen. So we're going to stand, believe, stand and believe and decree that those things will so be in your life and in the life of your group.
It's going to be. It's going to be because I see it happening.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. It will. Now, I want to carry this to Lori. Lori, share with us some neat, exciting things that are happening with you and your Magica over on Pickering Wharf. So,
the name Magica came from the Magi, and the Ka is the Egyptian word for soul. So it's the soul of the Magi. The Magi encompassed all of people who cared and created and create light. That's what we live with. The Magi at Magica want the world to be at peace. We have our circle there, and what we all call on is peace in this world, love and understanding, and for it to grow, that where there is no faith, have faith. Whatever religion you call yourself, have the belief that there is one, or we believe in God and Goddess, that you can have that light within you, that there is no place that you can't go because you do believe. And it can happen. Your dreams come true. When you say all the little people are lights, and each one of them manifests into a great sun, and they can make you be all as one, and it can come to pass that which you have in your heart. And from you, it will never part, that you can create all the things that can make all of mankind be. And if you can do that, boy, what a good thing this world would be. We have a giving in our shop. We give to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. We have the can for the money. We also give to Wolf Hollow because they take care of the animals. But St. Jude, to me, because it is no denomination, and it looks to heal children. Heal the children because that's where our future is with children. What is Magica doing now? It's trying to make a beacon. We are going to be having the Festival of Life and Light and Love during Halloween. We're going to have a dance at Finn's that will honor that precept of life, light, and love. Yes, there is the Festival of the Dead, but now in the new year, let's have the Festival of the Living, of giving
right.
and loving.
That's
what we want to bring as members of the Magi craft. That's what
awesome.
We're going to be doing.
That is awesome.
So we want to give to all the people. Like Phil, you come to see me on Saturday. I'm working. I'll have a little something for you. I want to see your work go forward. Yes, as a witch, as a practitioner of the magical art, I will help our brother Phil, because what he is doing is not spewing hate from his pulpit. He is spewing love. And if that's what made you a heretic, then bless you, heretic brother.
Oh, man. Too bad I'm not there. We're not, you know, too bad I'm not there with you guys having some pizza and beer and we could be laughing. That's awesome.
Oh,
I agree.
You're welcome.
You know? So listen, I want something from me to both of you, okay? So listen, I'm hoping and believing for blessings upon you, upon your family this very night. And may all that you do continue to reflect the light. And as we stand and believe, we believe that your needs will be supplied both day and night. We lift these things up to thee, God. So let it be. Amen. And that's for both of you.
Amen.
Because I do believe that what both of you are doing is just wonderful. You both, you have my love, and you know that. And so, and I've got your back, and you know that. So I believe in what you do. I don't really care what people call themselves, you know. That means nothing to me. What really does mean something to me is when people do something from their heart and it's real, and they really don't want any credit for it. They know what they're doing, and they know how to walk in that. And that's what really, and they want to make other people's lives a blessing and joy and magical. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'm going to take a real quick break here, you guys. I'm going to ask you to just mute your phones real quick because I have to do a station ID real quick, and then I just want to share some stuff with our audience, and then I'll be back to you folks, okay? So if you don't mind, let me just do this real quick. And so, folks, tonight you are listening to part three of the series that we've been doing, Pagans and Christians, Oh My. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, when I first thought about it, you know, and I reached out to Phil and I reached out to Lori, and it's not circumstance. There was a reason for all this, you know, that our lives crossed, so to speak. I mean, I could share with you, there's so many things that are so common, even between me and Lori, that are just, you know, it's not just circumstance. Even, in fact, just talking with her son tonight for the first time, Anthony's like, don't I know you? That name sounds familiar. But look at about Lori's family and the dates aligned to my family and when they immigrated here. And not only that, I had an uncle Bruno, so that was kind of interesting. Many, many things. And me and Phil, just, you know, we were part of the same denomination. We have the same heart, you know. So there's a lot of things that we're so similar on. And so I thought, you know what, we really need to do a program on this because we really want to get a message across. And that message across is that of love, and it's nothing short of that. And so what I would encourage you folks to do is really reach out to them. Reach out to them. I will be giving you their numbers once again for you to reach out, okay? So, again, be respectful that they're on Eastern Standard Time. So if you are here, you know, on the, you know, well, if you're on the Pacific here, Pacific Time here, like we are here in California in the Northwest and all that, Pacific Standard Time, you do realize that they're 3 hours ahead of us. So, but again, if you want to reach Lori, you can reach her at 978-741-9297. 978-741-9297. With regards to Phil, same area code, 978-744-8444. Again, 978-744-8444. I also want to let you know that have some things that are coming up on our show, and I want to make sure that you're able to stay tuned and just realize some of these neat and exciting shows that we have coming for you. And again, realize that this is not the end of you know, of Lori and Phil being with me on here. We'll still share together and get together because we have a good synergistic effect here. You know, it's just a good fusion of our minds and thoughts, and so we want to share that. It probably will not be called the same thing, but we'll be sharing with you. But I want to let you know what is going to be coming ahead in the months ahead here. Next Tuesday evening, July 23rd, Rose Marie, well-known actress from the Dick Van Dyke Show, will join me, as well as actor-publicist Harlan Bull. And this will be, again, next Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then the following evening, Wednesday, July 24th, The Acting Room with L.A. actress Tana Frederick and myself, as well as voiceover actor Matt Baker. Now, Matt Baker is the voice that you hear at the beginning and the ending of my show. Matt is well-known. He's a well-known voice that you hear every day on the Discovery Channel, the Weather Channel, Travel Channel, BBC America, Animal Planet, TLC, and on and on. So both of these shows will be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday, August 31st, new and upcoming hit country singer Amy Rose from Canada. You heard it from Toronto. This will be 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. She's got a great voice, great song. going to be fun. So then on Friday, August 2nd, this will be a special two-part series, Is Elvis Still Alive? And I will have an Elvis expert, Mickey Moran, with me, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Isn't that an interesting topic? Is Elvis still alive? We'll talk to Lori about this, too. Maybe I'll ask Phil about it, too, what they think. Then on Wednesday, August 7th, Hot August Nights with some oldie music, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Wednesday, August 14th, Hollywood actor Christopher Showerman, better known for his character as George from George of the Jungle, will join us also at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. A couple of my favorites coming up soon, so stay tuned, will be a great fiction writer, very favorite of mine, of the 44 series. Listen to this, 44 series. Jules Sinclair will be coming up soon. More information coming. You need to read her books. One of my favorite fiction artists outside of John Grisham, the 44. It's a suspenseful, tad bit creepy. This is a series that takes place in the Pacific Northwest. It will keep you on the edge of your seat, so you cannot, I cannot wait to interview her. She's just a wonderful person. Following that, the legendary First Family of Gospel from Nashville, Tennessee, the Rambos. Stay tuned for the dates of this wonderful show. And then, Lord willing, I'm planning to do an interview at the Magic Castle in L.A. for their 50th celebration. I will keep you posted on that as well. So I am going to bring back on my friends, and I think Phil and Lori, are you both there? I hope so.
We are.
Are you there?
We're here.
I haven't
Okay. Left. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys. So, see, I'm going to be doing this two-part series about Is Elvis Still Alive? And, you know, I looked at this documentation from this guy who is an expert. It is pretty amazing, some of the stuff that perhaps most of America doesn't even know about. So we're going to be exploring that. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I don't know. Somebody's in that tomb.
Well, you know what, though? You know what, though? When they moved it, he wasn't there. And you want to hear something else?
Wow.
Check this out. Yeah, check this out. So on his birth certificate and his wedding certificate, his name is Elvis Aaron Presley, spelled A-R-O-N. On the death certificate, it's A-A-R-O-N.
Hi.
The DNA did not match his original DNA. So, yeah, uh-oh is right. So there's some things
going on. And, you know, he got tired of all the nonsense that was going on. He wanted freedom.
Right.
That man wanted to be free.
Right. It's going to be very interesting. If you guys get a chance, maybe I'll bring you on, Lori, to give your 5 cents on it. But, you know, it's going to be a two-part series, and it's really quite interesting because when you look, this guy has been following the story. He's been on television. He's been on the radio. He's talked about it. He has all documentation. He's been on since the 80s. He's been around talking about this. Some of it is just unbelievable. Some of it is just unreal. I mean, and this is not just talk. You know, somebody said, oh, you know, I heard. This is actual documentation. Something else that they found that I thought was kind of interesting, you know, when you have an insurance policy and somebody dies in your family, you usually collect on that, right?
Right.
Apparently, none of the money was collected.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Phil, are you there?
I'm here.
Did we put you to sleep? Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to listen to this show, and again, it's going to be in the archive, so you'll be able to listen to it anytime, but it will be live on Friday, August 2nd at midnight Eastern Standard Time.
I'm going to look at that. Listen to it.
Midnight Eastern Standard Time, Friday, August 2nd at midnight. So, well, the reason that we're doing it at midnight, there's a couple of different reasons. Number one is, believe it or not, well, the gentleman, he's going to be available after 11 p.m., so we have to give enough time, you know, to regroup. And then when we've run our shows at midnight on Friday, the listening audience is so much greater, live audience, it's unbelievable. So I don't know what everybody's doing at midnight, but they seem to like to listen to the
they're
show.
They're listening to you at midnight. That's funny.
I'll be up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I find things like that very entertaining and interesting, and I kind of put it in the, you know, the category of conspiracy theories and whatnot. But
well, that's what it's called. Yeah.
And it reminds me of something that G.K. Chesterton said. One of my favorite writers, somebody that C.S. Lewis read his book Orthodoxy, I think, every year. And Chesterton talked about people who were insane, and he said the problem with them, with the insane, is that not that they are that they don't think that they're too emotional and they don't think analytically enough. It's that they're too analytical and don't connect their heart to things. Because you always find that the arguments for something that a really crazy idea has all kinds of proof texts, doesn't it? And very intelligent ones. So anyway, that's my two cents on. Anyway.
We'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah. I noticed a friend of mine was just connecting with me on Facebook, and he mentioned that he had called in just now. So I don't know. And he was thinking about the Elvis thing himself.
Oh, is that right? Well, I also got a message for you, Lori, from Ariana. She said to, contacting all the way from Puerto Rico, she said to send you her love. She wished she was going to be able to call in, but something came up, and so she was unable to, but to send her love. So I'm sending that out.
I love to her very much so.
Yeah.
Very so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Phil, is your friend on area code 781? Is that him?
That would probably be it, yeah.
Well, we could say hello to him. What's his name?
His name's Sean.
Well, let's see if Sean is on there, and we'll say hello. Is this you, Sean?
This is. How are you?
Hey.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Now, I was just listening to the program here, and while I was editing some photos, and Phil was saying you should go on and call in, and I was like, I don't know. But then the whole thing with Elvis came up, and I'm like, all right, you know, I'll just call in. Because I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Were you an avid fan of Elvis or something?
You know, I think I was through my mom, my aunt, and my grandmother growing up. I was probably, actually, I was about 8 when, you know, Elvis had, quote-unquote, passed away back in 77. But, you know, I definitely heard enough of his music growing up to almost be around when he was in his prime.
Well, you know, you got the date when the show is going to be on. Listen up and, you know, listen in and see what you think. You know, it's going to be an interesting, it'll be a two-part series. So definitely we hope you listen in. So anyway.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for saying hello to us. And,
all right.
Continue on. You're doing some editing on some photos, so best to you. And thanks for calling.
Okay.
So that was thanks. You know, Phil, this is kind of cool. You know, you got friends all over the place, don't you? And Lori has friends all over the place, and I've got friends
indeed.
All over the place, and that's really what it's all about. So, you know, I'm really glad that we had an opportunity, at least tonight, to really, you know, put everything kind of together. And like I said, this is really, I mean, it's sad that we're not going to continue on this topic, but I definitely would love if you guys want to come back at any time and talk with me and join in on any topic or show. I'd love to have you guys.
I hope you
can do that as well. And any final thoughts that you might have that you want to share? Or
Go ahead, Lori.
I would like to bless everyone out there with all my heart and soul that this world comes to be at peace and walks in the light and forgets all the negativity. I wish we could all see brother and sister in each and every one of us and see and learn and read about our people, all of us, and get to understand that darkness is only a point in your mind that doesn't let in the light. I want you all to come to understand everyone. This way, maybe that'll be the first step towards no more wars. Mm. Only there's no such thing as a holy war, and I've said this time and time again. The
right.
only thing holy wars do, put holes in people that could have served the world and made it a better place. My final thought is, keep loving
okay.
your heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you, Phil, do you have any...
I'm going to put a plug in for something that doesn't have to do with me. Well, it does have to do with me because I'm helping to run some the carnival aspect of this festival. There's a festival happening in Hot Springs, North Carolina, just north of Asheville, in a beautiful area. It's called the Wild Goose Festival. And this is its third year. It's kind of a fledgling progressive Christian festival. I'm the leader of what's called the fun team, which means that I get to go in there and create carnival and a little bit of craziness, and with it some kind of radical, life-changing thinking is how I like to think of it. So the Wild Goose Festival, and you can find that thing online. It's a festival online. It's a festival about art, social justice, and spirituality, and it's a great group of people. So anybody who might be in that area or interested in something like it, they can just look up Wild Goose Festival.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's a question for both of you. I'm just going to ask you. Since we started off, we've done three of these, right?
Yeah.
And this has been over the last course of a couple of months, I would say, right? 2 or 3 months. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Has this impacted, has this series, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I kind of am.
Right.
Has this impacted your lives in any way? Has it made you think any different? Has it given you any other kind of thoughts or light or just wondering?
For me, I find things like this, they have their, as it might be, kind of a slow transformative process. As the more I interact with people, you know, the scriptures call it iron sharpens iron. And so as I interact on issues like this, I find it challenges me. It causes me to grow. I don't always recognize it until down the road, a piece. But I know that things like this absolutely have an effect in a very positive way in how I interact with people, how I deal with
tough subjects, how I even find myself being able to discover or learn how well I keep to the strong values that I really believe in. Am I speaking in order to make somebody, hopefully that somebody will hear something I think they want to hear? Am I speaking in such a way that I want to be recognized as being somebody? Or am I just being genuine and holding to the deep and strong values that I find most to be most important? So I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ turns the world upside down. And there's this dynamic of for me, that, you know, I want to be both simultaneously affirming and yet simultaneously critical. And when I say critical, I don't mean it as, I should say, critiquing. Mm-hmm. That I want to look at both sides of every issue so that it can be seen in the light of ways that things can be improved, as well as ways in which things are already beautiful and beneficial to us. And and so, you know, a show like this challenges me to consider that.
Can I critique
the things that everybody thinks is wonderful, and can I affirm the things everybody thinks is terrible, and can I do both sides of it in order to try and discover God's perspective?
Okay, that's good. That's good. Are you, Lori?
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm here.
And you?
I'm listening very carefully. And the basic thing that Phil is saying is love. One summing up, one word, love and caring. That's what you're saying. So I get it right through me. That's why I will help you.
Now, Lori, this show, did this three-part series, did this do anything? Did this stir in anything within you? Did it change any belief system in you? Did it change any thought? When I say, let me clarify something. When I'm saying belief, I'm not saying what you believe. What I'm saying is, did it change anything within you about things that maybe you thought? Did it change maybe, like, did you think, wow, you know, this has challenged me, or this has create, maybe now I'm thinking something that I'm seeing a different perspective, or maybe, that's what I'm wondering.
Joey,
did it do anything?
Listen. Joey, the way Phil speaks is the way I believe also. Mm-hmm. I may not call my God Jesus, but he does. Jesus emanates that love. And that is an all-encompassing part of the cosmic Father. He's part of the great one that is there, just as I believe in Goddess. And she is the light, too. But understand me, I feel that Phil speaks from his heart. And if all Christians would speak from their heart as Phil, which is that Christians could get along very nicely and not have any problem, because he's not an ismist. The ismist has blinders. And they don't want to learn and see what's on the other side of the coin.
Right, of course.
I don't want to convert anybody to be as I am.
Right.
I want them to say, if you follow Christ, be a good follower of the Christ. If you follow Buddha, be a good follower of that teaching too. And of Islam, be good at what you are. Do not look to convert someone to your belief.
No.
Or else I make a thing, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe like me.
Oh,
why?
Of course
have
not.
Have they seen hell? I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an ismist either, but I'm sorry?
I could never be an ismist. But I do respect the Christ teaching.
Right.
He only spoke of love.
Yeah, and that's all I want to speak of. And so for me, it's challenged me. It's allowed me to think outside of my box, you know, because sometimes we're in a box, you know. We can be as open as we can, but sometimes there are things that, you know, we may not. It's caught. In other words, what I'm getting at It's challenged me. It has encouraged me, and it has taught me that love transcends all things.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. Love transcends all things. So I want to know,
Rick,
will you come back and join me?
Anytime.
Of course.
Okay. That's all I want to know. On that note, I am going to go out. I want to wish you the best blessings. We will continue to be in touch. I love you both and what you're
love
doing
you too.
And your work. Blessings upon you. And people, listen to the show. You know how to reach them. Again, it's going to be on the website. Take care. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Thanks,
all.
Joey.
Too. Bless you, Phil. Take care, Joey.
All right, you too as well.
Buona sera.